That's right. It's a place to be this morning. Good morning and welcome to Integrity Church. I'm glad you're here. Sound like you're ready to worship this morning. Good looking crowd here this morning. I'm glad you're here. If you're our guest today, we're especially glad that you're here. And we hope that you'll just join with us in worship today. And I want all of you to take that connection card there in the seat back in front of you. Please fill that out for us and share with us any prayer requests or prayer needs you may have. And we'd appreciate that. We'd be happy to serve you better. Just let us know how we can do that. We would love to do that for you. We have something special for you this morning. We have a packed service, so hang with us here this morning. I want to introduce to you here Chris Wren. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris Wren. And God's been working in his life in some wonderful ways. He's a senior this year at Burlington Christian Academy. He's a son of Lou and Tarina Wren. I know many of you know Lou and Tarina. And he has a sister, Tabitha, and Chris just wants to share with us this morning how God has worked in his life. Chris, you share with us now.
All right. First, I want to start off by saying whenever I was at VCA, I got saved whenever I was in Miss Sheila's K-4 class. And then she was talking about Jesus, and I realized that I kind of wanted to be in heaven, and it sounded cool. And so then I went in elementary school, and I lived my life and didn't think anything of it. It was kind of young. You can't really know much. Then I got into middle school, and every year we did something called a fall retreat. And every year on the last night of that retreat, we had a big spiritual time, and people got saved, and people got rededicated. And that's what I did. I got rededicated. And then we all went home, and we didn't think anything about it. Then I hit seventh grade, and then I got into some junk. I know it was bad, but I didn't really care. And then we went through another year, and we had another retreat and another rededication. And again, I went home and didn't think anything about it. And then eighth grade, the same old story, but I was more aware of what I was doing. And then came high school. We also did retreats. And again, the same thing. It was all emotional. And then finally, 10th grade hit. And I decided that I wanted a bigger part in what was going on. I wanted to get up on stage and speak, but I didn't know how. And then Miss Moffitt, who was our campus minister at the time, came up to me and asked me to speak. So I knew it was from God. And so then I decided to read a passage from Job. Let me get my phone out. This is my Bible. I like it. All right, and then I was up there at the retreat, and this is what I said. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming the earth and going back and forth from it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge of protection around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, and so that his flocks and herds will spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and surely he will curse you to his face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, everything he has is in your hands, but do not lay a finger on him." And then Satan fled from the Lord's presence. And one day, Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing by the fields. And the Sabaeans came and attacked and carried them off. Put all the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties, swept down on your camels and carried them off. Put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting at the eldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck all four corners of the house. It collapsed, and then they were all dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell down on the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. And the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. May the name of the Lord be praised forever." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with any wrongdoing. And so then from there, I'm just going to skip to the very end of the chapter. All that talks about is, in between, is like whenever they're all talking, their friends just trying to comfort Job and a bunch of stuff. And then chapter 42, verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again, and he was given twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him at his house. They comforted him and consoled him all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 7 daughters. And then at the retreat, I went on to say how Job didn't curse God, how he followed through and just kept his head up and worshiped God no matter what. And now I need to figure out where I am. Okay. And then after I did all that, we had another emotional time at the retreat. And then we were going home. And our high school principal at the time, her name was Miss Holly Clark. She just happened to take a wrong turn off the interstate. And she got off in Graham, right near Graham Middle. I think it's Pine Street. Yeah, all right, thanks. And I said, all right, don't worry, I can get us back to school. So here we're going, we're at the top of the hill. Then at the bottom of the hill, there's an ambulance. I'm saying to myself, that's not very good. Then we're going, and we get to the bottom of the hill. I'm at the back of the car. I unbuckle, jump up to the front, and say, holy crap, Miss Clark, that's my grandma's house. Can we please stop? And we did. I got out. And then my great aunt, who I'm not very close to, I can't even remember her name sometimes, guys. She comes up and says, Grandma's dead. There I was at my grandma's house. Mom and Tabitha were at school. Dad was at work. My best friend, somewhere on the way to school. I had nobody. It was around 3 o'clock, so cars were everywhere. Walked over to the neighbor's house. Got down on both knees. Started crying. I wasn't angry. I was just sad. I looked up to God, and I said, why didn't you prepare me for this? But then I realized something. I realized he did prepare me for that. From what I said earlier that morning. How everything happened for a purpose. No matter what. That we always need to praise God. We always need to look for him. In every situation. Then after that, life went on. But it was hard. But I had a pretty good testimony that I could share at the next year at the retreat or with the middle schoolers. And I even used this to talk to the teachers at school. The big bad teachers. And then the next year was my junior year. I went to the retreat and had the altar. I decided I was done. That God could have my life. He took it and he used me over the years. And then this year at the retreat, something awesome happened. Something that never happened to me before. At the altar call, I didn't have anything huge to repent of. And then I had a great peace with God. I knew I was forgiven, and it was just a wonderful thing. But before that, whenever I was younger, if you would have asked me what I wanted to do, whenever I grew up, I would say I wanted to be a soccer player or maybe a preacher. But now I realize what God's plan for my life is. I want to be a preacher. My mom had always told me that whenever I was growing up, that I would finally be one, and now I realize it. But I still want to play soccer every now and then, but I'll put God's plan before mine. And then whenever he calls, you better be ready to drop whatever you're doing and listen to him. Follow him no matter what. And a few weeks ago, I went to a New Covenant church for their Wednesday night service. Their youth pastor was talking about big prayers. He told us his, and then I realized what mine was, what Miss Moffat had been saying for a while. We need to get this city on fire for God, but not to stop there. We need to fan the flame and get this whole world on fire. Let's start it here, guys. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter anything, your health deficiencies. It doesn't matter if you're in perfect health, where you go to school, what your job is, how much you make. God still has a plan for you, and he wants you to listen. You're here for a reason, so listen to God. And see what he has in store for you. To God be the glory forever. Thank you.
All right. Very good, Chris. Thank you for that. Hang out right here for a second. Hold on. I appreciate Chris and his commitment to Christ. And I'm so thankful for how the Lord's working in your life. And how God's put in your heart that you want to be a preacher now. I know how you feel. It was my summer before my 11th grade year in high school that I answered that call. I want to ask the students, any students that are here, to come down now. And I just want to pray over Chris and our students and any high school students that are here. Have they already left? Is Jonathan here? Jonathan, come on up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And anyway, and any family of Chris that's here, and we're just going to, Chris, if you just come down here, let's pray over you. And we want to do that. Any elders that want to come now, we're going to lay hands on Chris and just pray for him as he's shared with us today that he feels God's call to be a preacher. We just really want to pray for him, don't we, Jonathan, that God would just lift him up, that that he would be all that God would have him to be, and that he'd be just a great witness for him as God leads him. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's go to God in prayer now, and I'm going to ask Jonathan to lead us in prayer.
Father, there is none like you. And God, I know that when you place a calling on someone's life, a true calling, they can't run from it. And I thank you for Chris, and I thank you that he has realized at the age he's at, God, that he wants to follow. God, I pray protection around him. I pray for wisdom. You tell us in Proverbs, if we ask for wisdom, God, you'll give it to us. And as I was sitting there listening to Chris talk, I couldn't help but think about David and the way that you used him as a teenager. I couldn't help but think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as teenagers, God. They stood for what they believed in. And God, this county needs more Chris Wrens.
Yes.
So, God, I pray that you would help him just to spill out, God, on his friends and the people that he comes in contact with. God, may he spill out on some adults that need to have this passion too.
Yes, God.
God, he's yours. We commit him to you today, and we pray that you would take his life, God, as an empty canvas right now, God, and just begin to paint on it the perfect will that you have for him, God. May many, many come to know you through his service, through his life, God. And God, may he live dangerously, God. May he hang it out there, God. May he do things that others haven't done. And I pray there would be no fear in him, Father. Just like there was no fear in David, God, when he went up against Goliath. Father, I pray that this church would rally around him, God, and support him and give him all the resources that he needs, God, to learn more about you, God, to become more educated in you, Father, and just to share your love with everyone, Father. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning and breathe and to open our eyes, God. And just like Chris knows you have a plan for him, God, you have a plan for us, God. And I pray that through the message this morning that Todd brings, that we would come a little bit closer to understanding that perfect plan you have for us, God. We love you this morning, Father, and we worship you. It's in your son's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank y'all. Y'all can have a seat. God bless y'all. Well, this is a wonderful thing. We're excited about what God's doing in our student ministry. It's going through a transition time right now. Many of you may know, it's been already mentioned on stage and through our email newsletters that Jonathan Day is going to be transitioning to our role as like a missionary to reach the Elon College students. So I just want to remind you of that. So let's continue to keep our students in prayer and praise God for what he's doing there. Let's all stand up now. We're going to meet and greet one another. Be sure to find somebody and give them a high five, okay? And you can't sit back down until you've given at least two high fives, okay? All right. Okay, it's all yours.
Sure, sure.
Okay, church, we are so lucky this morning because not only do we get to see a testimony of a teenager on fire for Christ, but now we have the opportunity to see the future. This is the future of Integrity. This is the future of God's kingdom. And they are singing the best song about superhero. Okay. All right, the moms and dads are really excited, so I'm going to let them shine for Jesus.
Travel around and around with the sea to shine and see. And one thing's still the same.
I'm still real today. But now one thing's still the same. My God's still real today. Well, he's still God of the mountain. He's still God of the sea. He's still God, and he watches over you and me. Oh, he's still God. And God's still real today. But now he's still God. Oh, and God's still real today. All over the world, I keep seeing the same thing. Revival started rolling. The Holy Ghost is doing a brand new thing. You know that's right. Well, now he's still God. Oh, and God's still real today. Still real today. Well, revival starts rolling. The Holy Ghost is moving around. Well, are you ready for that trumpet to sound? And he's still God. And God's still real today. Well, now he's still God. And God's still real today. And we sing, he's still God. He's still God of the sea. He's still God, and he watches over you and me. Oh, he's still God, and God's still real today. Well, now he's still God, and God's still real today. One more time, and we sing it again. Well, he's still God of the mountain. He's still God of the sea. He's still God, and he watches over you and me. Oh, he's still God, and God's still real today. Well, now he's still God, and God's still real today. Blessed to be here this morning. Still full from last Sunday. Somebody say hallelujah. God showed up in the house last Sunday night. You know what? The same God is still here right now. I walked alone down this old dusty road, not really knowing which way to go. Standing in the crossroads of my life, Lord, what will I do? You see, I can't make it, Lord, without you. I found a better way, a better way in you. Yes, I found a better way, a better way in you. Oh, I found a better way in you. His name is Jesus. I found a better way in you. Then I looked up, and what would I see? It's a man named Jesus standing right there in front of me. He said, I will not ask you to do anything I haven't done. So come on, lay down your troubles there, child. This war's already won. Oh, I found a better way in you. His name is Jesus. I found a better way. see the crossroads in my life. I know I'm not walking alone. You are by my side. Take me away from the man I used to be. Show me the way so these old blinded eyes can see.
Still God, you are the only one, the only true God. You are the I am. I am, not I'm with them. I am. Lord, the better way is you. There's none other. None other. Father, Sunday night, we had a taste of heaven where knees bow. Tongues confess that you are. And Father, that doesn't have to end. We can continue. We can continue to praise you and to lift up your name. Lord Jesus, you are indeed holy. We give you all honor and all glory. We give you our problems. We give you our challenges. We give you the things that are filling our head. We give them all to you. And we are so thankful that you are the I am and that you take them and they're gone. They're gone. That's only through God. The I. We have so much to be thankful for.
Woo!
Amen. We live in a country where we don't have to have someone at the door for fear of being taken to jail. We don't have to have underground churches. We could take this church service out into the parking lot right now. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it.
Amen.
Woo! Yeah, that's a big deal. Because now there are people hiding. They hide their Bibles. Thank God. And yet we get so complacent. No. We have so much to be thankful for. And all he wants is just to walk with us. And all he wants is just for us to praise him.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not done. I still have a pulse and there's still air in my body and I am not done. And we will continue to praise him.
Amen.
And when we sing this next song about letting those praises ring, let it go. Let it go. Let the praises ring. Each and every one of us have at least one thing to praise God for today. Okay, yeah, you're here. You made it. You're here. All right, guys, let's start this up. We're praising. Let's go.
Thank you.